Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every religion wants to show people a way that they can be righteous before God and be saved. But what way do they offer? The pagan American says, if you want to be righteous, then tolerate every lifestyle and idea as if it was as good as any other. And if you should offend anyone, blame an addiction, and then go to rehab to atone for your sins. The Jew says, if you want to be righteous, then confess that there is only one God and Moses is his prophet, and conform yourself to the regulations of the Torah. The Muslim says, if you want to be righteous, confess that there is only one God, and Muhammad is his prophet, and conform yourself to the regulations of the Quran. The Roman Catholic says, if you want to be righteous, then confess that there is only one God, and the Pope is his prophet, and conform yourselves to the regulations of the law and the church. And finally, the enthusiast says, if you want to be righteous, then repent and pray and struggle until by your faith and good works you can be certain that you are elect. These answers may seem somewhat diverse, but they are all based on the same premise. A person can be righteous before God and be saved, partly by outward works and partly by inward moral improvement. What does Jesus say in response to this? He says it is all dead wrong. In our reading this morning, Jesus sets before us two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee is described as a man of faith who is full of good works. But the tax collector is described as being a despicable sinner without any good works at all. So these two men went up to the temple to pray, to the house of prayer for all men. They stood upon those great stones stained with sacrificial blood. They stood near to the holiest of holies, where only the high priest could enter. And in the holiest of holies was once the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant were the stone tablets of Moses, the holy law inscribed by the finger of God. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, let alone boast of the good things that he had done. On the contrary, he was ashamed. His life was a mess. Sin had pumped its poison through the veins of everything, and there was no breast to beat but his own. For what came out of his heart did not justify him or fill him with confidence before God. What came out of his own heart defiled him, and he stood there terrified, afflicted, ashamed before the Lord, his filthy feet standing on those blood-soaked stones. The Pharisee was right, you know. He was not like other men. He was not like men who extort their own people, their own countrymen, so that they can live a life of luxury. He was not like the adulterer or adulteress who defile their bodies and sell their birthrights for a moment of pleasure. He was not like the unrighteous ones whom the government must punish and lock up. Nor was he like this tax collector, this Jew who worked for Caesar, this sinner who worked for Satan. The Pharisee was right, you know. He was better than other men. But there is one thing that he should have known, that when you stand before Yahweh in his temple, or when you stand before him at his judgment seat, the question is not how righteous you are compared to other people. The question is how righteous you are compared to God's own holy and perfect law. For God does not measure one man against another. God measures you against his holy and perfect law. And that law is sufficient to stop the mouth of the most righteous Pharisee just as fast as it stops the mouth of a prostitute. Not the flesh of the extortioner, nor the flesh of the philanthropist. Not the flesh of the adulteress, nor the flesh of the pious mother. No flesh is righteous in God's sight, and all the world stands before him with mouths stopped silent, guilty before God. All the world, that is, except this Pharisee, and some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, who treated others with contempt. Loud is their prayer. Quick is their tongue to call upon the name of God. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. How easy it is to treat others with contempt when you have forgotten to measure yourself first against God's holy law. The tax collector stood far off. He had come to the temple to pray, but not as the Pharisee. He had come to the temple to beg for his life. He had come to the holiest of holies, not because he was holy, but because he was unholy. Because there was no strength in him. Because the Lord was his only hope. He had come in his guilt and in his shame for one reason: to ask for the Lord's mercy, the forgiveness of his sins. And standing far off, he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. And beating his own breast, he cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But this word he speaks is not actually the word for mercy. It is the word for propitiation, for sacrifice. He stands in the temple, not able to lift his eyes to heaven. With his eyes on his feet and on those blood-stained stones, he cries, O God, propitiate for me, sacrifice for me. For I am a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, Amen, I say to you, this man went down to his house justified, but not the other. Not the one who trusts in himself that he is righteous. For the one who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. O God, propitiate for me, a sinner. And so this sinner is declared to be righteous by Christ. For the scriptures use this very same word for what our Lord Jesus Christ does in shedding his blood on the cross. A merciful and faithful high priest, the scriptures say, to make propitiation for the sins of the people once and for all. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. For the temple and the blood of the lambs were but a shadow of the heavenly things. The true temple is that which was torn down and 3 days later was raised again. The true lamb is the one Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the true high priest stands before the mercy seat of God, pouring out his own holy blood once and for all to make intercession for us. Christ the temple, Christ the victim, and Christ the priest. The true holiest of holies, then, is to be found wherever Christ pours out his blood. The true Ark of the Covenant, the true mercy seat of God, is to be found wherever our high priest pours out his holy blood. And so he makes his holiest of holies here with us. And he pours his blood out here on this altar and on your tongues. For your body is his temple. The Ark of the Covenant, his mercy seat, is here. For our high priest says himself, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Come then, like the tax collector, who could not lift his eyes up to heaven, let alone his soul. Come with your guilt, with your sins, with your worries, with your shame. Come then, with your head bowed, with your heart broken, with your lips crying out for mercy that you have not merited or deserved. And upon your lips, the high priest will pour out his own holy blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Contrary to all so-called religion and all so-called Christianity, justification is not something you can do for yourself. It is something that God must do to you. Justification does not happen inside of you, in your heart, but outside of you, in God's heart. In short, justification consists of nothing other than God himself forgiving you all of your sins freely for the sake of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus shed on the cross is the blood of Jesus shed for you. From the cross to your lips this day. Same blood, same forgiveness. And so God sees you now, and he will see you at the judgment seat as if you have never sinned at all. Pure, as if you have kept all of his perfect and holy law. He looks at you and sees nothing but the work of his own dear Son. He credits all righteousness to you freely for Jesus' sake. And for this reason alone, your salvation is accomplished, and you shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.